Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings and curses. I want you to think about those two words this evening. Blessings and curses. I got to say that we probably use the word blessing an awful lot more than we use the word curse. So we'll start with that one. How do we use that word blessing? You ever think about what it means? I mean, from our usage, it seems to describe something or someone as a positive asset or influence in our lives, right? I'm blessed to have a working vehicle. I'm blessed to have a place to live. I'm blessed to have a loving spouse. I'm blessed to have a shovel and salt to clear the snow away, right? I'm blessed with children and grandchildren. Good things, right? Good relationships, they're blessings. I'd say most often, at least in the church, we think of blessings, these good things, as coming from God as a gift. We'd probably say something like, well, I sure don't deserve it. Or the one phrase is, how you doing? Better than I deserve, right? But we might say, but I'm blessed by it or because of it, right? Whether that's your relationships or your things. On the other hand, some outside the church might say blessings are earned or deserved because of the work that one does, or the positive attitude that one has, or the pulling up of the bootstraps that they have done, right? I've sure worked hard at my job, and now, because of my hard work and my efforts, I'm blessed with a house, the car, the boat, or what have you. Whether or not you see a blessing as given or earned, I think most people hold to the belief that a blessing are just those good things in life. And the bad things, on the other hand, are curses. Now, we don't often use that word curse, do we? When I hear that word, the two things that come to my mind are curse words or swear words. You know, words that you're not supposed to use in public, but oftentimes you hear anyway. The other thought that comes to mind when hearing a curse is Harry Potter, right? Wizards, witches who practice spells and curses upon other people. Neither of those meanings is what's found in the scriptures. The curses or woes, we might say, are opposite of blessing. But to be cursed in the biblical sense means more than simply bad things. It means to be cut off from God. To be cursed in the biblical sense means to be outside of God's grace and mercy. Where blessings are a gift graciously given and rooted in Christ Jesus, curses are earned by our sin and our failure to trust in God in and above all things. The gospel reading from Luke today, Jesus pronounces blessings and woes, or blessings and curses. I want you to listen again to his words, and you tell me if these are good things. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. When Jesus says, blessed are you, the next thing that comes out of his mouth is probably the exact opposite of what we would consider a blessing. Poverty, hunger, sorrow, and exclusion, those are all blessings? I mean, Jesus, didn't you mean to say, blessed are you who are rich, full, happy, and well spoken of? Well, I think that's what we would have liked to have him say, but that's not what he actually said. He's turning things upside down. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, and those who are excluded, reviled, and called evil on account of his name. Now, does that mean that good things are not a blessing from God? Well, no. They certainly are. Faith in Christ sees all these things are blessings from God. Our house, our home, our food, our friends, wife, husband, kids, and the like. But our problem is that when we see only these good things as a blessing, we miss the fuller picture. We're not seeing things from God's perspective. We're not seeing suffering as a blessing. And then our other problem is in our sin, we're tempted to, and we often do find ourselves putting our trust in the good things over and above the one who gives us everything. The word from Jeremiah 17:7 sums it up well. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. See, for the poor, the hungry, the mourning, the reviled, well, they don't have the good things that may become idols for them. And they are called blessed only insofar as they have a dependence, a trust, a faith in the God of all creation, who is their present help in time of need. Those who seem to have it all are easily led to believe that they in fact do have it all, apart from God. They don't see their need for a Savior. As Jesus said, how difficult is it for the rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven? There's no dependence, trust, or faith in a God who gives, but rather in themselves, who they believe have earned it all by their own efforts. Woe to anyone who believes this. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, are invited to think about blessings and curses according to God's word, and to have our usage of these words shaped and formed by the Holy Scriptures. It must be shaped and formed by Christ and his word, not our own will and whim, our own reason or understanding. You know that it was Jesus who proclaimed these blessings and curses, but it was Jesus who first came among us as poor, as hungry, as sorrowful, and reviled. Though he was rich, he became poor for us. Not only physically, but he took up the poverty of our sin. He was hungry as he fasted 40 days in the wilderness while being tempted by the devil, and yet for our sake he did not give in. Rather than turning stones into bread, Jesus hungered for our righteousness as he clung to his Father's will and word. Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus and over the unbelief of the very people that he had come to save. He was reviled, excluded, and accused of being possessed by demons and blaspheming against God, although he was revealing his Father's will for the salvation of all mankind. Here we find Jesus in his sufferings. He suffered and he died on a cross. A cross which the very scriptures declare, right? Cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree or a cross. All of this, the poverty, the suffering, the hunger, the exclusion, the suffering and the death, Jesus counted as a blessing. And a pure joy, even. because by them he would redeem the world from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. So here's the good news. By faith in Jesus, we count even our sufferings, our sorrow, our hunger, our reviling because of the name of Christ as a blessing. Christ is gracious and faithful, and he is present with us in the midst of all the sufferings and the crosses that we bear. That is his promise to you. In your baptism, Christ Jesus united himself to you. And so you now share by faith in the life of Christ. You share in his forgiveness of your sins, and as a result, you are blessed to share that same forgiveness with those around you. Your life is found in Christ Jesus, and that is a blessing. He delivers us out of the poverty of our sin, and he places us, even here and now, in his kingdom. He knows our hunger, and he gives us even now our daily bread and so much more. He gives us now his very body and blood to eat and to drink, feeding us not only in body but in spirit as well. And as he does, he pledges and promises to fully satisfy us at his coming in glory when we eat of the wedding banquet of the King in the fullness of his kingdom. As we weep and mourn now over our own sin and sin's effect of separating us in death from loved ones and ultimately from God himself, he promises that we shall laugh and rejoice at the last. For Christ is risen from the dead. And in so doing, he dealt the death blow to our sin and to death itself. Since we have been buried with Christ in a death like his, we, by virtue of his work in our baptism, will be united with him in a resurrection like his. Just as he lives and reigns, we shall too at the last, and at the last we will laugh at death's pathetic attempt to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For God is faithful. He will hold us. He will never let us go and keep us with him and all who have died in faith to him. As we are reviled and excluded for his namesake, we take comfort now, knowing that we share in the very sufferings of Christ, as did the holy prophets and the apostles long ago. That is a blessing. But woe to anyone who holds that the things graciously given in this life are all that there is. Woe to those who trust in mankind over God to be the rescuer and the redeemer of mankind. Woe to those so worried about what others think and say that they don't speak or hold sacred the word of God. Woe to those who focus solely on the temporal good things in this life and forsake the giver of all good things. Woe to those who forsake the cross of Christ, for that is the only way of salvation for all mankind. Blessed are you, for you have been called by God's name in holy baptism. Blessed are you when you experience hardships and trials, and yet call out to the Lord your God who hears your prayers and who helps you in your time of need. Blessed are you even as you face sicknesses and even death, for you will be raised with Christ himself as he was raised from the dead. Blessed are you when you hunger for the righteousness of Christ, for he is present here to feed you by his word and by his supper. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are blessed in the Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, who gives us every good thing. Amen.